Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Addiction Solution. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran. And we wrote, together with Stephen Slate, our colleague, The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap.
We want to first tell you about our free live events. And I had somebody call about them today. So I want to clarify what they're about. Okay. I know when you go to enroll, it talks about coaching certification. And yes, we talk about that in the free live event. We want you to know how you can become a part of the Freedom Model movement. But if you're somebody that's still struggling and you want to get an opportunity to talk with us live and you want to learn more about how people solve their problem with the Freedom Model and learn more about the Freedom Model, then you should come to the free live event too.
Yeah. So it also covers, we cover some of the history, our history, the founders. And why we do what we do. So it really is a well-rounded event.
Yes.
And there's also a question and answer, a live question and answer session at the end of it. And also, if you can't make it, enroll anyway, because it gets recorded.
It does.
And you'll be able to watch it.
Yeah, And that live Q&A is 15 to 20 minutes long. So you can ask us anything. We want to be challenged. We want you to challenge us. Yeah. And it is private for you. So don't worry that somebody may see who you are or what you're asking. Nobody can see who else is there. The only people that can see the questions, if you want to type them into us, are us. You can elect to talk with us directly and have us turn your microphone on. But yeah, it's totally up to you.
Also, right here in the corner, if you're watching this on YouTube or on our site, there's a QR code, and that's for the free app, the Freedom Model app. And that has samples of all our different products.
And you services. Can access the live event through the app as well. If you want to come to the app, go to thefreedommodel.org/live-events. We are scheduling them mostly once a week. We have a couple of weeks coming up there where we won't have them because Mark will be out in the woods hunting. So come and check it out, the free live events, and talk with us. So today, what I want to talk about, and I've kind of had this theme with some of my posts and an email that we just had go out, but this is such an important topic that I think I wanted to hit it here in our podcast. And that is, if you are seeking help for a problem, and it doesn't really matter what problem it is, but especially for addiction, if somebody tells you to stop thinking and just do as you're told, or just
listen to your sponsor.
Yes. Or basically somebody wants to stifle your critical thinking skills. That is a huge red flag. And when it comes to solving a substance use problem or some other addiction, quote unquote, your critical thinking skills are what is going to help you solve your problem. You need them. They are crucial. And so I wanted to dive a little bit into this topic and tell you why it's so crucial.
So this morning I had a response, an email response. Ryan had written some articles about antidepressants. And what he did was he wrote sort of the angle that doesn't get talked about. And that is, what is the research that refutes their effectiveness? And there's a lot of it.
There is a lot.
Ryan specifically, for those that don't know, Ryan is the president of Baldwin Research. He's been with us for 20 years.
He's our silent partner.
Yeah. he's behind the scenes making all this happen.
Yep.
So Ryan, I won't talk out of turn, but he grew up hard with a lot of the experimenting era of antidepressants in the 80s and 90s.
And in general, mental health meds on children and teens.
Right. So he had that whole experience, and for him, it was a nightmare. And so he's been studying this for decades and said, you know, I just want to write an article that challenges some of the big pharma's religion around this, that it's always effective and that it can target thoughts and things like that, because it can't. And so the person, the psychologist,
therapist,
yeah, person. he was all kinds of pissed off about it and said it was irresponsible. And I said, well, I don't think it's ever irresponsible to challenge something. It wasn't conclusive. It wasn't, he just listed, I think, 33 citations of
different research.
It's
a different take on this. It's showing that maybe this is something we should question.
Yeah. Yeah. It just questions it. It throws it out there, and here's the data that shows that. I'm sure there's plenty of data that's going to go against his view. Right. I mean, but the point is the Freedom Model has always been about challenging courageously the status quo. And I think we get there because we've always been that way because of what we went through as children, not only Ryan, but Michelle and I with the cult of AA. And it was ironic because the person compared us to Scientologists, anti-medicine Scientologists. And that's just one of those weird things that people pull out of their hat when they start insulting.
They're trying to be hurtful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
judgmental and hurtful.
I will be judgmental and hurtful towards Scientologists because that shit's crazy. I don't mind saying that, but it's funny because if you challenge any of these sort of sacred cows in the medicine sphere,
in the behavioral health world specifically.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to me because, you know, I saw that email last night and I thought every once in a while we get someone like that who is like, I love your work. I love it. But now you crossed a line, right? Like there's some line that we're not allowed to challenge that.
Yeah. We cross all the lines.
look at it, critical thinking. Okay. I also had some mental health history that was not helpful to me. Getting a diagnosis at 20 years old while I'm a heavy substance user of bipolar added to my problems. They wanted to put me on lithium. It added to my problems. Okay. So did I ever take lithium? No. So I don't have any experience with it. Thank goodness. But I had somebody close to me that did, and that experience that I saw with them made me not want to go on it.
So it's interesting. So what if you took in the behavioral sciences and eliminated all labels, all diagnoses, right? So I want to explore this. So let's say there are no diagnoses when it comes to mental health therapy, right? Talk therapy, just talk therapy. So I'll say you got a therapist and a person, and there was no diagnosis. There's no insurance company involved getting a diagnostic code. There's no big pharma feeding you pills. There's none of that research is happening. It's just two people talking, one person who's got their act together and another person who's really struggling.
Or at least it has the appearance.
They really do. And they're very helpful, and they're geared towards really finding the truth about this other person. How would they go about that without a diagnosis? Now, immediately, if you want to be helpful, what you have to do at that point is you have to do what we do in our coaching, which is be non-judgmental, ask a lot of questions with the Socratic method. You have to have data that enough life experience to be able to help the person. And if you don't, you have to have a lack of ego to say that. to say, you know, I'm not sure. Let me look that up. Or I don't have an answer for that. You have to be willing to do all these things. And what happens in that dialogue, that back and forth dialogue, is super helpful, because now the person isn't diagnosed. They are loved.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference, because I've been diagnosed. I've been pushed and prodded. I've been stuffed in rehabs. I've done all that stuff, and none of it was helpful. And I know that when I was loved, it was infinitely helpful.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that being loved is all, you know, cats and meows. It wasn't like that. It was some tough conversations, but I knew that the love was there, and I knew that the person cared about me. So I think that, you know, we should challenge all of this stuff that we're doing to people.
Yeah. You know? I'm going to qualify this, which I do. We do in every podcast. We do in our book. We do everywhere. We have never once told somebody not to take their medications. We have never once gotten between a patient and their therapist. Okay. Never. That is not where you don't have a dog in that fight. But we're not going to shy away from providing information that can help people make an informed decision for themselves. There's no manipulation. There's just, hey, did you know that this research shows this?
That's right. It's asking the question.
Yeah.
It's asking the questions.
Can I just go back to what Mark was talking about? When we're doing coaching with people and we're asking questions, our goal in asking those questions is to find their belief system, to find out. And a lot of times with substance use problems, there are mental health issues. There are beliefs about themselves that are problematic and not accurate. Okay. And so if I'm a therapist, which Mark and I are not therapists, we're coaches, but when we're working with people, the vast majority have these issues. The way we help them to solve them is to have them challenge what they believe. And that's what you do. That's how you change. A medication can't go in and cherry pick a thought and change it.
Right. Doesn't change your beliefs.
Right.
It doesn't change your perspective about how frightened you are that you can't pay your bills. It can't target thoughts.
And it doesn't change that you feel like you're unworthy of having a better mate.
Yeah. So people a lot of times don't see or understand that nuance that they tell me that it changes this imbalance. That's just a grand marketing lie. You know, there is no imbalance in people. They've never been able to target the imbalance.
They disproved it. Research came out within the last, I think it's now probably 8 or 9 years. I think it was around 2017, 2018, research came out that was like, hey, you know, this whole chemical imbalance thing that all the antidepressants we're using to say this is what you need to balance your, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's disproven. It's not real.
Not even in schizophrenics.
No.
Not even in schizophrenics.
Schizophrenia is, they still don't understand it to this day. You know, you can read a lot of data. You can read, I've read a ton of research on schizophrenia about, we found this in the blood. Oh, wait a minute. No, now that's in the blood of people that don't have symptoms. Mm-hmm. We found this gene. Oh, wait a minute. That gene's in these people too. So there's a lot of back and forth on it, and people don't understand it. But perhaps it is an extreme of beliefs, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a reason that schizophrenia presents in early to mid adolescence, right? It presents, symptoms present usually between 16 and 25 years old, almost never after 25. Okay. If you're going to see symptoms of schizophrenia, you're going to see it during that time period in life. There's a reason for that.
So I think what Michelle said is really true. I don't, when I'm coaching somebody and they say I'm on all these medications, I blow right past that, because I don't, it doesn't,
It's inconsequential.
Yeah. I mean, but if somebody says I'm bipolar, I go, okay, what does that mean for you?
Yes.
What does that, I don't know what that means. You know, bipolar, are you saying that you identify as a group of symptoms? If that is the case, we have a lot of work to do because you're a lot more than that. And so I just focus on, what do you believe you can change? What do you believe you can challenge? Now, if you can challenge your beliefs, one of those beliefs may be that maybe I don't need my meds. Maybe I want to change this. Maybe I go, okay, if that's what you think. And then I refer them to a doctor and say, you know, that can be a rough go.
Yeah. Did you know you can get a second opinion?
Yeah.
Did you know you're not beholden to this mental health professional that you've been working with forever? Maybe they're wrong. And so this goes with the topic of, if somebody tells you, just, you know what, I'm going to tell a story, a really sad, tragic story of something that I didn't know, but that was related to somebody in my family. Okay. To an in-law. And this person was put on a medication to stop smoking. Mm-hmm. And Mark knows who I'm talking about. Yeah. And he wasn't on it very long, and he kept calling his doctor. And I think it was just his primary care physician.
It was less than a week on it.
Yeah. And he was like, I don't feel right on this. And they said, it's fine. Keep taking it. Keep taking it. He hung himself. Okay. He didn't feel right on it, and he ended up hanging himself.
Yep.
And a doctor told him, keep taking it. Okay.
Yeah, he just didn't listen.
He didn't. So this is what I'm talking about, thinking critically. Now, my personal experience, I had a hip replacement, a total hip replacement now a while ago, like 8 years ago. And they put me on, gabapentin. They put, because they don't want to use too many opiates, right? So right after my surgery, I'm just home from my surgery. They put me on gabapentin. Within 2 days, I did not feel right. I did not like the way my head felt. I did not feel right. We called my doctor, and because I think critically, okay, I was going to go off of it. I didn't know I was on a bunch of medications, so I didn't know which one it was, but I had a suspicion it was that one. And the first thing he said to me was, stop taking the gabapentin. Just stop taking it.
Yeah, he knew.
He knew.
Yeah, he did.
And yeah. So now, do I think that a medication can make you kill yourself? You know, if it can't change your thoughts one way or the other, then probably no. But
if it affects processing.
Yes.
So it's really interesting, because people say that we talk about drugs not being able to change your beliefs, but then we talk about the situation. We're not saying that it doesn't do anything.
Right.
We're saying that nobody really knows.
Right.
We know that if you listen to the side effects for a lot of these drugs, they say right on the commercial, increase thoughts of suicide, call your doctor right away. So your thoughts, your consciousness has to work through your processor, your brain tissue. So your mind is what your mind is. And everybody that knows the word suicide has a concept of suicide. Now, that concept is a perception that gets processed through brain tissue. How that happens, nobody really knows.
Nope.
I don't know. Neuroscientists don't know. They can look at circuitry, but they really don't understand consciousness. And they don't understand the beliefs of that person. And so if you start messing with the processor, it's like the best analogy I give when I'm training people or doing coaching is, you have software, intelligence, that's consciousness. That's who you are. That's the intelligence. And then you have the motherboard, the hardware, like the computer hardware. And that's the circuitry. That's your brain. And they work in concert with each other. They work, and you have thoughts out here in the metaphysical. Who knows what a thought is? It doesn't have substance, and it works through brain tissue. But when you start messing with the motherboard, the interpretation of awareness gets screwed up. And so what what the big pharma wants you to believe is that this is some sort of fine-tuned scientific process of understanding what thoughts it targets. But it can't target thoughts. It can only target, in a blunt way, your processor. And so it becomes a sort of random experiment. And it always has been. I mean, when you look at the research, they really don't understand how any of this works. And they get a group of people in a study, and sometimes they don't even have a double-blind study. They just sort of observe. And then they say, what do you feel like? You know, and there's situations where if the people feel the side effects, dry mouth, weight gain, things like that, or even suicidal thoughts, that's when the medication is quote unquote working.
Right.
You know, so, and where there aren't side effects, the person doesn't feel like it's working. So what is the definition of working really? It once again becomes your interpretation and your consciousness.
That's
so,
it.
So we're throwing these drugs into people's bodies. And again, there are people, and I've met many of them, who have good experiences on these.
Sure.
I've met thousands who didn't.
Right.
So I listen to people and I say, well, if you're having a bad experience, talk to your doctor and make some changes. Maybe get off of it. There, you have all the options available to you, you know? And they go, I do? Yeah, I go, yeah, there's no tyranny of experts here. You don't have to listen to a doctor and just do what they tell you to do. You can question it. Get a second, a third opinion, you know, and debate things for yourself. Be your best advocate. Life is not, I'll never forget it. It was just a month or so ago. I was talking with an old friend of mine that I've known for 36 years now. And he looked at me, goes, Mark, life is not supposed to be that hard. And we were talking about our past and stuff. This was just a general statement. I said, I know, but I remember when it was terrible. I remember when it was hard. But there comes a point when you question enough things, you gain enough confidence in yourself and your abilities, you climb out of that hole where you have to listen to everybody all the time.
Right.
And live your life by that. And you just say to yourself, I'm okay. And I'm just going to be happy. And I really don't give a fuck if people don't like me, you know, and there is such freedom when you get there. But to get there, you got to question a lot of things, a lot of narratives.
You know, it's so interesting because my father, we've talked about him, would question everything. Like he was the devil's advocate. Right.
Yes.
And he would question everything about even medical, like most of us. Mm-hmm. Just trust our physicians because we're not trained in medicine. Mm-hmm. But medicine is a practice. Okay.
Yeah.
And
it's
so
an art, medical arts.
It's medical arts. The point of when you become a physician, when you become a doctor, you've basically just learned how to do medical research.
Right.
Because, and so, so my father would do his own research. I mean, he loved what, once the internet came out, I mean, he looked up everything. He was his doctor's worst nightmare. He would debate medicines. He would debate everything. And when I was younger, I looked at that like, oh God, he's such a pain in the ass. Right. But now I'm the age he was when he started doing that.
Well, it's interesting. He's such a profoundly interesting case because here he was, he had really catastrophic heart attacks and heart surgery when he was in midlife, you know, end of his 30s, early 40s. And here he is, double that age. He's 84.
He is. And still alive and not the healthiest person.
But 84, dude.
But he's 84. Like he's on borrowed time.
With heart disease for 42 years and ran, you know, marathons, did all this stuff in his life. And because he was his own advocate.
He was his own advocate always.
Yeah.
Always. And so I think I got to a point in my life where, you know, I think in my 40s, I'm definitely much healthier now than I was then. And I really liked my doctor because she questioned everything.
Yeah. So, she was cool.
Yeah.
She
so cool. She's retired. And so I have a new doctor now. And so I had to kind of like my old doctor, like I would question things with her, and we would go back and forth. And so she was somebody that I started, like I got with her in my 40s. So I, but up until that point, I just kind of did what I was told.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt worse and worse. Like I got on medications and a lot of, I think people, but women specifically, as we go towards middle age and we start struggling with different things physically and emotionally, I think we have a tendency not to question, to do what we're told, to just, you know, I don't know enough to question these things. I shouldn't, you know, not that I'm advocating look everything up on, you know, on AI, on freaking Google, but maybe start doing some research on your own about things if you're not sure.
I think that there's a time and a place in your life where you're going down a road and the results just aren't commensurate with what you're being told.
Yeah.
You know, things just don't add up. And that's what we hear. AA is such a dramatic example of that, because 95% of the people that attend aren't going after 30 to 60 days. Right. So 95 out of 100 people go to AA and they go, this is crazy. This is all crazy talk and weird. So that's such a profoundly obvious example. Right. But these other situations when you don't have the knowledge about medications and you are getting side effects that feel like they're working and you're questioning it because you're not getting better, quote unquote, things aren't getting better. You know when things aren't getting better.
Yeah.
You do know that. And so that's when you start to question things and look for another avenue. And I've been blessed with good genetics and good health, but I also take care of myself.
Yeah.
And I've been put on medications in the past and I take them for a little while. I get back on my feet and I go right back to the same sort of thing that's kept me healthy for 55 years, which is a certain regimen that I have. And I eat well and I don't smoke and I don't drink heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that if you have decent genetics and you do that path, you'll be fine. But I've had instances in my life where I've had neurological problems in my brain from a brain injury. I've had things happen that were pretty big deals, some cancers and things like that, that require direct intervention. But as soon as I'm done with the episode, I kind of question all of it. And I say, do I need to be on this forever? And they say no. And I move on.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's okay to do that.
Well, and I think what we're talking about is, now let's bring it around full circle to solving a substance use problem or another quote unquote addiction. And thinking critically is required.
Yeah.
Because the only person that can solve the problem is you.
Yeah.
By changing your beliefs and changing your mind about the value of that activity in your life. Okay. There's nobody else that can come into you and do that. There's no amount of manipulation. Fear-based coercion only goes so far with most people. And for some people, it's completely detrimental and really screws things up for them. It makes their beliefs so skewed away from the truth, which is you've always been in control. You're always doing exactly what you want. And maybe you can change your mind about this, right? But I mean, if you're tied into believing alcoholism, this is alcohol and it's so powerful that if I even go into a bar, I'm going to be off to the races. Or if I take, you know, if I eat food that has alcohol in it, even though it's cooked out, I'll be drunk before, you know, before I go to bed that night. So none of that is true. And so it's okay. What we're telling you, what our article talked about today, or that went out yesterday, and what we're telling you in this topic is you can question things. You're allowed to. You're allowed, and you deserve the truth, number one. And you deserve to question things.
Yeah. Yeah. A good life requires it. It requires it. It's sort of stoicism. It's what we're on this planet to do, to question and to create. I got nothing else to say that ties.
Well, I have a couple things to say, and I'm not knocking therapy or psychiatrists or psychologists. There are some wonderful people out there with PhDs and letters after their name and that are very helpful to people. Okay. But if you go to someone and they are throwing diagnoses at you and labels and medications, and you are allowed to say no. You're allowed to say, no, I don't agree with that. I want you to help me learn how to be happier in my life, period. Yeah, I want you to help me to learn how to solve this problem that I'm having right now.
That's right. No labels. Why have a label? Why does there have to be a label? What if, let me figure out and challenge and come up with a strategy to think differently about my circumstances. Help me do that.
Yeah.
And when you do that with people, they change.
They're so empowered.
Yeah, they're so excited about the fact that there's a way out of that problem. And when you focus on problem solving, it works. It works. We're amazing creatures at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if somebody there are people that have mental health crises that are in a place that needs intervention.
Yep.
We've worked with them.
Yep.
We've seen it. And I totally understand that.
Yeah.
They're always temporary.
Yeah. There's having a psychotic break. And there are cases,
there are long-term cases we have worked with too. Yeah.
Yeah. And some cases we won't work with
because
they're so dramatic that they, in some cases, they need to be locked away. Some of these people, it's sad.
It is very sad.
But it's the minority,
small percentage.
And I don't, as a coach, you know, with the Freedom Model, I don't have an answer for those people.
Mm-mm.
But those people aren't in reality. You know, they're in a different place. And that's something I don't know about. That's the truth. But they're the minority.
Yeah.
When we start to label people with not ordinary problems, but really general problems, substance use, depression, anxiety, stress, maybe even having a breakdown, right, where you're just overwhelmed and you completely lose your shit for a period of time and you have a bit of a crisis. Those things,
we both experienced that.
Yeah, those things aren't that uncommon and they're fixable and sometimes some love and some understanding is all that's necessary. But I always tell people when they come to me and they have all these diagnoses, I say, well, I don't know about diagnoses because that's not what I do. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you as a human being, tell me what your situation is. And then I can work on
exactly.
that. I can't work on, if you tell me you're bipolar, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
If, you know, because I'm only going to look at the person and I want to understand who you are because you're not a diagnosis to me.
No.
You're a human being. So that's the big difference, I think, in a lot of the technique that's out there.
Yeah. I think that's a great starting place. You're a human being and all human beings have human struggles.
Yeah.
They have behavior struggles. They have emotional struggles. Every human being on the planet has those. And, yeah, you're allowed to question things.
You are.
So, okay. I guess I just want to tell you a little bit about our coaching package, the Solution to Addiction coaching package, which is phenomenal value. You get 3 months of the online program, you get the solution workshop, and you get 3 90-minute coaching sessions with either Mark or me. And it's pretty awesome. You can go to thefreedommodel.org/coaching. If you're looking for help to solve a problem, that's where you go. We would be happy to help you solve whatever addiction or behavioral issue you're struggling with.
That's right. Happy to help.
All right, everybody. And don't forget, over there is the QR code if you're watching to get our free mobile app. And in that app, You can enroll in one of our free live events. You can enroll in our one of our workshops or our online program or our masterclass, which is free. The masterclass. If you don't know much about the Freedom Model, you want to learn, get that app. Watch some of the video samples on there. Our free abridged ebook is there too, which is a very short version of this book. And enroll in our masterclass. It's 1 hour. It's really great information. So thanks everybody. Hey, before I forget, if you have a topic you want us to talk about, please email us at info@thefreedommodel.org because we're looking for some good topics.
Yeah. And give us some context so that it's within the framework of some maybe situation or something like that.
Yeah. We would love to help. All right. Thanks everybody. Bye.
Take care, everybody.